You're listening to WWBC, COCO, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Religious liberty isn't just a personal right, it's a public good. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. A year ago, Biden administration officials issued a rule that standardized a radically new interpretation of the word gender. In a memo from the Department of Health and Human Services, officials mandated that all employers must cover the cost of so-called transgender medicine in their health insurance plans. In response, the Christian Employers Alliance sued HHS on behalf of a coalition of Christian-owned businesses. Many media outlets in their coverage of the story have referred to the CEA as a religious liberty group, identifying them not by what they really do, but only by their legal argument. Now, to be sure, forcing an employer to pay for harmful hormones and violent surgeries on healthy bodies against their deeply held beliefs is to violate their religious freedom. All citizens of the United States have an unambiguous right, thanks to the First Amendment, to not just worship inside a church or a synagogue or a mosque, but to order their lives outside of those buildings according to their deeply held beliefs. Whether that belief comes from their religion, their conscience, or some mix of the two, the ideas that men and women are real and distinct things and that their bodies shouldn't be experimented upon is widely held across cultures, religions, scientific disciplines, and human history. Legally speaking, then, it's perfectly sound for the Christian Employers Alliance to argue that forcing employers to subsidize those experiments violates religious freedom. Oftentimes, the term religious liberty is cynically thrown around in our cultural discourse by those who are critical of the legal or social arguments for religious liberty. Religious people are accused of being ignorant or selfish, only caring about their own rights, or even of clinging to their guns and religion. All of these views are somewhere between incomplete and flat-out wrong, misunderstanding what religious liberty is and why it matters. Christians care about the religious freedom of others, not only in the sense that protecting our religious freedom helps others maintain theirs, which is in and of itself a moral good, but Christians care about religious freedom because we believe that Christian claims about life in the world are true, true for everyone, not just us, and that the world's better off when we're not denying what is true. So, if men and women are real things made by God for a purpose with a good design, to deny that goodness or mutilate that design is harmful, whether or not the person doing it believes in Jesus. The cultural tidal wave of so-called trans medicine can rightly be characterized as medical malpractice, even abuse. Medical institutions are prescribing puberty-blocking hormones and increasingly sterilizing surgeries to adults and children at skyrocketing rates. Refusing to be co-opted in that kind of abuse is not some sort of don't-tread-on-me self-defense. Recently, writing over in World Opinions, author Abigail Dodds pushed back against the caricature of the self-interested Christian taking some kind of perverse pleasure in fighting culture wars. Quote, "It is surely true that the kingdom of God advances through resentment, but rather by those who bear witness to Jesus in sincerity and truth. Yet I wonder where and to whom some think we are to bear witness. What is all this good news for anyway? Do we not believe we're against the world for the world? Do we deny that God's ways are truly good for all? Christianity has been a unique force for good in the world, and that's because it is true for its adherents and for non-believers alike. It is a great horror to lie about and or to mutilate our bodies. Hopefully, more Christians will, like the Christian Employers Alliance, refuse to live by lies. A world where living out Christian faith is suppressed or even illegal is a worse world, more corrupt, more exploitative, more dangerous for everyone. So, fighting for religious liberty isn't necessarily selfish. It is, instead, a good way of loving God and loving our neighbors. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
My goodness, we're at a war. If someone saved 10, 15, 20, 30, 1,000 lives, well, they'd get the Congressional Medal of Honor. They'd be on the front page of every newspaper. Life that had been saved. This is how we can support. This is how we can give. This is how we can get involved. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the body of Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and our good God Almighty, we're in the business of life.
The truth is, you can't sit on the sidelines in the fight over abortion. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young wraps up his message, Battle for Life. you'll discover practical ways you can be a strong advocate for our world's most vulnerable population, the unborn. Stay with us, The Winning Walk is coming right up. But before we get to the message, we want to help you make the very most of your time here on Earth by sending you Dr. Young's four-message CD series, Discovering What Really Matters. This powerful series explores the book of Ecclesiastes to show you there is purpose and reasoning in everything, especially in how you use your words and your time. We'll send you a copy of Discovering What Really Matters as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-9255. That's 1-800-350-WALK. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Battle for Life, Part 2.
Where death is more prominent than in the womb of a mother, that's the most dangerous place a baby, a person could be, because out of every four pregnancies in America, one of them, a life is taken in the womb of the mother. There's no place more dangerous than that. On death row is not more dangerous than that, because it goes out for many, many months, far longer than the 9 months. Those 9 months are the most precarious months any life would have to be sustained. Since Roe v. Wade, there's been over 60 million abortions in the United States. Last year in the world, there were over 30 million lives taken in the mother's womb. We're worried about COVID. We think, oh my goodness, look at all the people who are dying, and they are, some 200,000, but proportionately. And there's no vaccine for the killing of babies in a mother's womb. There's no vaccine for that. This is an ongoing activity, almost hidden, smoothed over. It's legal, it's okay, a hidden activity in the culture of death in which you and I now live. It is the number one moral problem that we face. Well, you say, let's talk about the real significance of this thing. First of all, we have to understand something about life. Everybody here, every conception, every life is created in the image of God Almighty. We're created in His image. We see that in Genesis chapter number 1. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our image, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. In verse 27, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God put His stamp, He built His image into every single life at the very moment of conception. DNA, blood type, everything is there at the very moment of conception. I want you to look at something. I want you to look, this is a representation of an egg. When the sperm meets that egg and there is fertilization in the womb of the mother, at that moment there is a flash of light. I think it's a flash of the creative God saying that a man and a woman have come together along with God, and there is a being brought in the very image of God. Look at this flash of light represented here. Bam! Life. Life. Human beings, persons, are created within them with the very image of God. And so we ask the question, well, where was God, let's say, during the Holocaust? I'll tell you where he was. He was with those people, and God was gassed along with them. That's where he was. He's always there in our moments of extremity. He is always present. And we're made in the image of God, but that image has been marred by your sin and my sin. And so when we come to Christ, that image is being recreated in us day by day by day. That's the growth in the Christian life. That image is growing. But the day of judgment, Matthew chapter 25. Remember, Jesus divides those who are being judged with the sheep and the goats. And let's say this is the goaty section we have over here. And here's all the goats. And Jesus says to them very clearly, in that time in which, by the way, truth is there. In judgment, there's no spinning around. No. Truth is there. Truth about every one of us. And Jesus said to the goats, he says, I was hungry, and you didn't give me anything to eat. He said, I was thirsty, and you didn't give me anything to drink. He said, I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. He said, I was naked, and you didn't give me clothes. I was in prison. He said, you didn't come to see me. And he could have said, I was in the womb, and you allowed someone to kill me. Jesus said, if you have treated the least of these, is there anything smaller or more insignificant than a little baby in the womb of its mother? A little feet. Anything more insignificant? Jesus said, if you have mistreated one of the least of these, you have mistreated, you have done it unto me. Jesus said, it's better to take someone who has misused a child, a baby, and hang a millstone around their neck and throw them in the bottom of the ocean than to let them live. You think God Almighty doesn't take the sacredness of life, doesn't take the fact that we're created the image of life seriously? By the way, folks, there's no middle ground here. There's no middle ground. You're either pro-life or you're pro-death. There's absolutely no middle ground. All this thing with first trimester, that's a bunch of mess and baloney and the propaganda of Satan. You're either pro-life or you are pro-death. We're made in the very image of God. You say, well, how did God make us in his image? The Bible tells us, and it's such a powerful verse that he gives us here. He says in the book of Job, he says, Job 10 verse 8, your hands fashioned and made me altogether. Isn't that something? And you would destroy me. Remember now that you have made me as clay, and would you turn me into dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? Clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews. You have granted me life and loving kindness. We are created by the very hand of God. In other words, when you were born and I was born, God himself individually shaped and formed every single human life, made his image, and he shaped it. You read that in Psalm 139. You see that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He shaped all of us. What a fabulous thing. And those pro-choicers, those abortionists, they say, well, I'm going to tell you, You look inside and you see only a wad of cells. Let me tell you something. Every one of us alive here, we're a wad of cells. Everything about me and you, from my hair to everything, we're all cells. Everybody here, you're just a bunch of cells. You are a wad of cells. But the difference is, as with a fetus, as with a babe in the mother's womb, as with all of us, those cells are alive. It's an organism. Its life is in those cells. By the way, when the law was passed that legalized abortion, it's interesting, they had a problem with the 14th Amendment. For the 14th Amendment says every person has to be protected and have due process under the law. Well, they can't argue the fact that life begins at conception. But they had to say, well, now you have a baby. If a baby is a person, how can a person have due process? So they ran into a problem there with the 14th Amendment. And then they said, oh, we've got it. It says a baby is simply human, and they're not yet a person. And they have divided humanity from personhood. A crazy division. And they never say, well, when does a human become a person? Is it when they have arms and legs? Is it when they have viability? When they can depend upon themselves? When does that happen? They never say. They just say simply there's not due process there because an unborn is not yet a person. It's simply human. How can you divide humanity from personhood? But this is what the forces of evil have done in our culture to escape and redefine the very constitution upon which our nation stands. And then we move and say, well, a woman has freedom of choice, as if that gives license to choose anything. No one lives an autonomous life, folks. We have the freedom of choice. I can take this speaker and kick it. I can go and just take Ronnie Gajewski and hit him right in the nose. That is my choice. But that's not the right. Just the thing of choice doesn't mean there's a choice to determine whether a life lives or a life dies, or a life is killed in the womb of a mother. That is the most bizarre, crazy argument. Well, we've heard it so much, we think it's some kind of right inherent that females have. It is not. It's the byproduct of this deadly thing that's a part of our culture and a part of our society. And all of a sudden, we have a whole nother agenda before us. We have to understand that human beings are born with a stamp, with the face of God, the image of God on them. Human beings, every human being is shaped and planned, and that's a figure there, an idea of how intimately God cares and has for every life. Therefore, the bottom line is, life is holy. Life is sacred. It's of God. It's a sacred thing. It has to be handled and dealt with and understood as something that is very sacred, made in the image of God, shaped by the very hand of God, the sacredness of life. It's a gigantic givenness of every life, your life, my life, and the life of a fetus in every womb in the world. But here we are. We live in a culture of death. We want to find the culture of life. But let me tell you something. Did you know that the slave owner and the pro-choicers are just alike? Those who own slaves, the slave owners, are just like those who are pro-abortion. So explain that. We know back Dred Scott went before the Supreme Court, and those unelected robe wonders decided that a slave was property. Slave was not a person. Dred Scott, ruled by our U.S. Supreme Court, said a slave's not a person. You can do what you want to with a slave. It's property. That is the same thing that happened to Roe v. Wade. They said, that baby is not a person. That baby, it is just property. You can kill it if you want to kill it. A pro-abortioner and a slave owner had the same mentality. And the Supreme Court gave basically the same judgment that life in the womb and that life as a slave is not really a human person and a human being. And you can kill it if you want to because it's just another piece of property. You remember Taliqua, the whale? Stamped J-35. 2 weeks ago, she was seen off the coast there in the Pacific, and she was swimming, and by her was swimming a newborn baby calf. And they described that calf, they know the whale, as swimming beautifully and freely and wonderfully in the waters of the ocean. I've got even better good news than that. You remember the little candy apple baby that was born and they put it in a closet to die? Remember? Remember that one? What happened was, two nurses came and broke everything of the hospital rules. They could have been fired. They could have been prosecuted. And they went in that closet and they found that little 2-pound, 13-ounce baby, and they took it to another hospital at night. And doctors came and rescued that baby, and that little baby lived. The mother, you remember, who fought as hard as she could for her some 38 years before. Now this little baby, Melissa Ogden, had grown up in a wonderful family. And after she was 5, she had no scars indicating there would ever been any problem. And 38 years later, she found out who her birth mother was. And she called that birth mother, who just knew that, man, that little baby was killed and aborted when she was a teenager against her will. She called that birth mother. It was like a resurrection. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Our God is a God of redemption. Ladies and gentlemen, our God is a God of life. Exodus. Chapter number 1, there were two other nurses named Shifra and Pura. Who in the world are they? When Pharaoh said, kill all the baby boys that are born, these are two nurses, two midwives, Shifra and Pura said, we're not going to do it. And they took those baby boys, instead of throwing in the Nile, they clandestinely gave them back to their mothers. And they lived. Those nurses that went in that closet back there 38 years ago, they were modern Shifra and Pura. And let me tell you something else. You go to the crisis pregnancy centers in this city. I saw a lady last week who works there. She counsels for life. She said, I saved 4. I saved 5. I saved 10. I saved, how many lives are saved there in this kind of biblical Christian counseling? My goodness, we're at a war. If someone saved 10, 15, 20, 30, 1,000 lives, well, they'd get the Congressional Medal of Honor. They'd be on the front page of every newspaper. Life that had been saved. This is what we can do. This is how we can support. This is how we can give. This is how we can get involved. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the body of Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and our good God Almighty, we're in the business of life.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Dr. Young, at the end of today's message, Life and Death, you mentioned that we can benefit from the life and purpose, significance, and forgiveness that can be found in Christ. Can you talk about that further for our listeners?
Yes. Many teenagers, particularly, and other young women have given over their child to abortion, and they look back on that with great, great regret. But it's wonderful that we've all made serious and sometimes life and death choices, and we confess those mistakes to God. He forgives us. And I would believe that every mother and every young father who gave a child over to abortion, when they get to heaven, as they've received forgiveness from Christ on this earth, I think there'll be a great reunion with that baby, with that child in heaven. What would heaven be without babies, without children? And maybe this is in God's wonderful eternal plan for all of His sons and all of His daughters. If you are not confident that you have been forgiven, that you have really made reservation for yourself in real life here and real life in heaven, pray this prayer after me as the Holy Spirit convicts you. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess all my sin to you. You know each and every one. And now I turn away. I repent from all known sin. And I ask Jesus Christ to come into my life and forgive me and give me a brand new life. Lord, thank you for the same resurrection power that, Father, you used when you resurrected Jesus from the dead. That power is available in all of us as we walk with you in Christian living here on this earth and in heaven forever and forever. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. In Jesus' name, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Very helpful. Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. And we hope today's message has encouraged you. We'd love to strengthen your walk with the proven truth that there is deep purpose and reasoning in everything you do by sending you Dr. Young's CD series, Discovering What Really Matters. Your life matters, and Scripture teaches that what really matters most of all is how we sow the love of Christ through our time and our words. This four-part series will equip you to listen, hear, and respond to God's calling for you to speak and use your time to be a reflection to those around you of who Christ is. So call now to request your copy of Discovering What Really Matters as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for tuning in today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Ed Young unpacks how we as believers can lovingly speak truth to our sexually confused culture.
You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
We live in a day when truth has been suppressed, and the reason that people suppress truth is so they can get rid of God.
Dr. Tony Evans says when people think they aren't accountable to anyone, chaos and disaster are the inevitable results.
So the further this nation, this world rejects God, the darker things get.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. People who don't like following rules in life basically have two options: break them and deal with the guilt, or get rid of the rules. Today, Dr. Evans will explain why that second option is so popular these days and why it never works for very long. Let's join him.
One of the big political, social, racial, cultural issues of the day is the issue of voter suppression. The concerns that there are laws, inferences, and influences that intentionally seek to restrict, limit, or deny equal access to the ballot box, one of the hallmarks of our democracy. However, there is a greater suppression that we face today whose implications are much deeper, longer than the suppression of a vote, as important as that issue is. We're living in a day and are paying the price tag for the suppression of truth. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, we read these words: "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." To suppress something means to hold it down, to restrict it, to limit it, to not allow it to be what it was designed to be. We've all been to a beach and pushed a beach ball down. Because of the air in it, it's designed to float on the water, but we suppress it. We hold it under. We force it down against what it naturally wants to do and to be. It's the suppression of the ball in the water, holding it down. Today, we have another kind of cultural suppression. It's called cancel culture, where viewpoints that you do not like, agree with, or prefer are squashed, hindered, limited, or canceled. It is a suppression, a form of suppression. Paul says in chapter 1, verse 18, that there is this thing called the suppression of truth. You can actually hold truth down against its will, because the goal of truth is to be true. But when you don't want the truth, you force it down, you hold it down, you deny it, reject it, limit it, compromising it, because that's not what you want. So you suppress the truth. This suppression of the truth, he explains, exists, verse 18, because men want their own way independently of God. He says the reason they suppress it is because of unrighteousness and ungodliness. They don't want God's way, they want their way. So when they find God's way that they don't like, they suppress the truth. They hold it down. They reject it. They deny it. They kick it out of schools. They kick it out of government. They kick it out of family. They kick it out of relationships. They hold it down because that's not what they want. He says they hold down the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they want to decide what's right and wrong, good and bad, up and down, yes and no. And because they do not want what God wants and what God says, they suppress the truth. Amen. They hide it. They hold it. They limit it. They reject it. because that's not what they want. We all have been there, haven't we, where we didn't like it. And so we found ourselves hearing it but dismissing it, because what we were hearing, even though we knew it was true, we did not want it. We did not prefer it. And so we suppressed the truth. We've all done it at different levels, at different times. We've all raised children who do it regularly because they don't like what mama says or daddy says, and they suppress the truth because that's not what they want to do. The Bible declares in James chapter 4, verse 12, that there is only one lawgiver, only one, and that our judgments are to be made in light of the one lawgiver. Because absolute truth, let me repeat it, must have an absolute source. And there's only one infinite absolute source, and that's God. So he's the only one who can be absolutely true every time about everything. Amen. And so men reject the truth. And so you find them all over the place. It's like the defendant who argued his case before the judge, and the judge says, that's right, defending attorney. Then the prosecutor argued his case, and the judge said, that's right. The clerk said, well, wait a minute, the defense attorney, the prosecuting attorney, Your Honor, was saying two different things. They can't both be right. The judge said, that's right. Because when you do not have a standard of truth, you blow with the wind. Amen. You blow with the opinion polls. You blow with the surveys. You blow with the emotions if you don't like the truth. One of my favorite all-time movies is A Few Good Men. And everybody remembers the epic scene as it comes to the conclusion, and as Cruise is interrogating Jack Nicholson on the stand. And they're eyeballing each other, and the passions rise. Tom Cruise says, I want the truth. Jack Nicholson looks at him and says, you can't handle the truth. Everybody says they want the truth, but can God give it, and are you ready to handle it? Amen. He says, men suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They don't want God's standard. The reason that the wrath of God is revealed, we'll explain that in a moment, against the suppression of the truth, is because verse 19 says, that which is known about God is evident within them, for God has made it evident to them. He's talking about your conscience. That men are born with a truth regulator, a smoke detector, if you will. That's why you just innately know some things are wrong. You just innately know it. Because you are built with a conscience. But what suppression of the truth does is it warps the conscience. Romans 2:15 says, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts automatically accusing or defending them. Meaning your conscience makes you feel guilty or makes you feel confirmed. That is, unless you suppress the truth and you don't feel guilty anymore. See, you start off feeling guilty, but then when you keep holding down the truth and giving excuses, your conscience gets used to it and you don't feel it like you felt it when you first felt it, because you suppressed the truth. That is built into the smoke detector, the regulator of the human heart by God. So even if you don't have a Bible, even if you don't have a church, Even if you're not a Christian, certain things you just know that don't make sense, because God has built it in.
When Dr. Evans comes back in just a moment, he'll tell us more about that moral compass God hardwired into each one of us. First, though, I want to tell you about our featured resource for this month, Tony's brand new book, Kingdom Values. It's a powerful, in-depth study of the character traits we need to pursue in order to keep our hearts, homes, churches, and neighborhoods secure in the truth while the culture around us continues trying to rewrite reality. Kingdom Values provides the fresh air you need to keep breathing when the atmosphere around you gets toxic. Request it today at TonyEvans.org, and it's yours as our thank you gift when you make a donation to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. When you do, it'll come to you with an added bonus, all 8 full-length messages in his current series, Returning to the Truth. All the details are waiting for you at TonyEvans.org. We also have team members standing by in our resource center to help you. Just call 1-800-800-3222 any time of the day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's lesson after this.
It's beyond a Sunday sermon, a chance to really dig into the Bible and the kingdom in a new way, anytime and anywhere, because it's all online. The Tony Evans Training Center. In-depth courses on all kinds of topics. Cultural transformation. Intro to expository preaching. Jude, John, Hebrews, Old Testament, New Testament, and so much more. These aren't sermons. They're teaching courses to help you engage, understand Scripture, and not just to hear about, but to explore the kingdom of God on your own. Find out more at TonyEvansTraining.org. TonyEvansTraining.org.
Not only has God demonstrated His truth in the regulator that He's placed in every human person, but in the reality of the created order. That God knows what He's doing and knows what He's talking about is evident in creation. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. If you are an atheist, you are also equally a fool. Because you have to have lost your mind to assume that nobody plus nothing made everything. That is a fairy tale for adults. But because the truth of God is suppressed, evolution is taught as a fact. There was a TV show on just the other day where this astroscientist was arguing for the Big Bang Theory. There was this explosion of energy and matter that brought about the sun, the moon, the billions of stars, planet Earth. But the question that the interviewer asked him was, well, but where did the stuff come from that exploded? Well, his answer was, well, I don't know. Because when you get rid of God, you have nothing. Amen. We live in a day when truth has been suppressed, and the reason that people suppress truth is so they can get rid of God. Because if they get rid of God, they can get rid of guilt. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The expanse validates Him. Every day you get up, creation is preaching a sermon that God exists. He said, look at who's created these stars. Is it not I, the Lord? He says, creation attests to God. It attests to God's power. It attests to God's nature. It attests to God's attributes. He calls it the invisible attributes. You have a problem with God because you can't see Him. Well, you can't see wind, but you can see what it does. Let it blow hard enough. But you don't see the wind, you see its effect. You don't see air, but you see what it does. What He is saying to us is, when you suppress truth, you are suppressing God, who has made His reality known internally and externally in creation. He goes on and he says, verse 20, for though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, college grads, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. He said they don't give God the props he deserves as God. They were darkened in their foolish speculations. In other words, the more educated they became, the dumber they got. And their foolish hearts were darkened. So here you need to know, when we suppress the truth, things get dark. They get dark. I don't know. Have you been noticing lately how dark things have been getting? The Bible makes it clear what Proverbs 11:11 says, when a city abandons God, it tears down. Proverbs 14, verse 34, when a nation rejects God, it goes down. So the further your life, your family, this city, this nation, this world rejects God, the darker things get. Amen. Trust me, if you see a watch, there's a watchmaker somewhere. Trust me, if you see a painting, there is a painter somewhere. Trust me, if you see a building, there is a builder somewhere. And when you see creation, there is a creator somewhere. And you can know how awesome the Creator is by how big the creation is. See, if I just pick up a golf ball, I don't have to be big for that. If I pick up a basketball and be able to bounce it, I'm a little bigger. If I pick up a house, well, I'm a beast. What happens when you can pick up a universe? When the truth is suppressed, the absolute standard by which reality is measured, darkness set in, and he says it is replaced by idols, because man needs religion. So what they do is they create their own religion that frees them up to believe what they want to believe and do what they want to do, because they can't handle God's truth or don't want to handle it. And so what we have in America are designer idols. So we don't do that crude stuff. We get American idols. We get the idols of notoriety, materialism. We got the idol now of race. We got the idols of culture. We got idols of politics. We says neither are they thankful. They don't give God the cred that he deserves as God. They don't treat him like he's God. You know, I've been a long time since I had a dog, but the dog that I had, that I don't have no more. I don't ever remember my dog saying thanks. I don't ever remember my dog saying thanks. I don't ever remember expressions of gratitude. I do remember expectations. Amen. He wanted to be blessed. He wanted water and food, but I never remember thanks, just expectations. God has a creation with folk who act like animals. They got great expectations. Amen. Who don't want to give him the recognition that his name demands and deserves. Amen. So this idolatry, this cafeteria God, pick the parts of God you want, the Burger King God, so you can have it your way, has become the norm of the culture, because if they can get rid of God as he defines himself to be, they can create God in their own image while they suppress the truth. You and I should be known, our ministry should be known as people committed to the truth as God defines it. Now, I'm going to tell you now, sometimes you're not going to like it. Sometimes I don't like it. Sometimes you're not going to obey it. But the moment you start denying it and dismissing it is the moment things get dark.
Amen. Amen.
The wrath of God is revealed. The word wrath refers to God's just retribution against sin. Wrath is God's just retribution against sin. The wrath of God is revealed. He is not talking about hell. He's talking about history. Is revealed. And that will be revealed. Is revealed right now. What you are seeing is the wrath of God on display. What you are seeing now in our world, in our lives, is the wrath of God on display. Now, I call this the passive wrath of God as opposed to the active wrath of God. Let me explain what I mean. In the Old Testament, you have the active wrath of God. In other words, fire and brimstone coming from heaven, Sodom and Gomorrah. You had a flood. The whole earth was flooded. The active wrath of God. He directly did it. The earth opened up, Korah and his family swallowed up in the earth. He directly did it. The death of Jesus Christ shifted God's relationship to the world. So the Bible says, because of the death of Jesus Christ, the world was reconciled to him. So a shift took place, praise God, because of the cross.
Great words of assurance from Dr. Tony Evans as he wraps up part one of this message called The Suppression of Truth. You can request the full-length version as a standalone lesson or as a part of his 8-message set, Returning to the Truth. As I mentioned earlier, we'll send this collection to you as our gift in appreciation for your contribution to The Alternative. Your investment in Tony's ministry is the only way we can continue investing in your spiritual growth through his teaching and resources. And as an added thank you, you'll get it along with the brand new book I told you about earlier, Kingdom Values. Visit TonyEvans.org to make your contribution and request today. While you're there, check out our huge collection of resources, audio, video, print, and more. Right now, almost everything there is 41% off. I know, 41%? Why that number? Well, it's in honor of our ministry's 41st birthday, and this is our way of letting you in on the celebration. But these special offers are only available for a short time, so don't wait. Visit us today at TonyEvans.org. That's TonyEvans.org. Or call 1-800-800-3222, where members of our resource team are always ready to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. If you've ever tried to hold a beach ball underwater, you know that no matter how hard you try, it's going to pop up to the surface sooner or later. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans will tell us more about why God's absolute truth works the same way, no matter how hard some people try to suppress it. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.
You are listening to WWBC COCO, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI COCO, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL COCO, 99.9 FM.
Some plants use sophisticated ways to defend themselves from insects, and some insects have a few tricks of their own to use as countermeasures. See how this creates an unsolvable problem for evolutionists on today's Creation Moment. And now, our Creation Moment's host, Paul Taylor.
Our Lord recognized that in a sinful world we must be prepared to protect ourselves. The same is true in the animal and plant worlds. When it comes to trying to explain this truth using evolutionary thinking, there are some serious difficulties. There are many plants that have effective defenses against the insects that attack them. For example, a plant called Bucera defends itself with poisons that squirt from its leaves when a certain beetle larvae attempts to feed on it. However, the larvae have learned to chew on a particular part of the leaf first. When they do this, they disable the plant's defense mechanism and can munch away on the leaf without fear of harm. According to evolution, the plant's defense mechanism and the beetle's countermeasures had to evolve simultaneously, countermeasure perfectly matching defense. Otherwise, the countermeasure would be quite useless. The probability of this happening, even if evolution was true, is extremely remote. Even evolutionists have realized this problem and have published their attempts to explain how this could happen, but such explanations are based on a complex foundation of evolutionary assumptions and little evidence. According to evolution, such unlikely interrelationships had to evolve by chance many times when one looks at all the defenses that plants use and predators can outsmart. Creationists see all these defenses as created, fully formed by the Creator.
Visit us online at creationmoments.com, where you'll find thousands of free biblical creation resources, articles, radio show transcripts, videos, and much more.
On June 18th, Kairos Church invites you to their Empowered Women's Conference. Come and be empowered to fulfill your destiny. Women understand that they have a great purpose and a desire to receive more of God to fulfill their calling. Come and receive the anointed Word of God, prophetic ministry, and empowerment to launch you into all that God has called you to do. Invite your friends, sisters, loved ones, and women in need of empowerment from the Lord. Make your plans to attend now. Kairos Church is located at 100 Emerson Drive, Northwest, Palm Bay, 32907. Don't miss this conference. For more information on how to register, please call 410-245-2483. That contact number again is 410-245-2483. We look forward to seeing you.